If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
It's time for your Sunrise Guys.
Let me come in.
Oh, come on in, Swag. Water's warm in here, buddy.
Come on in.
Dirt and Sprague.
I'm going to configure your widget.
I'm all alone over here. I feel like I'm in the corner watching right now.
It's breakfast time.
Okay. Swag's going to go configure Dirt's widget. Oh, my Lord.
Dirt and Sprague.
He configured both our widgets.
Oh, buddy.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three. Dirt and Sprague here, Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Happy hump day, everybody. Boy, oh boy, do we have a fun hour of radio ahead for you. Our friend Josh Pate will join us at 8:30. Fresh off his appearance on Get Up. He's going to get up with us.
Yeah, he is.
And we'll talk some college football playoff, transfer portal news, all of that with our buddy Josh Pate. It'll be great to catch up with him coming up at 8:30. I haven't spent much time thinking about the Huskies lately because their season is over. Congratulations on your bucked up LA Bowl win. That was awesome.
You the last up, one ever.
The last bucked up LA Bowl we will ever see.
Beat a Pac-12 team.
Will forever be the champions of the bucked up LA Bowl. You'll always have that feather in your cap. So, you know, Oregon's still playing. Their season's done. They're working on portal additions and all that, and they lost their running back. By the way, Muhammad ended up going to Cal. Tosh Lapoy got him. That happened yesterday.
So, Cal building something nice, man, with Jaren, whatever.
Whatever his name is.
Deciding to come back.
Yep.
Did they end up winning the Hawaii Bowl, or did they lose that lead?
Yes.
I actually watched like 10 minutes of that game.
Maybe.
And I pointed at it because my family was arguing about me about being in Christmas and nice.
You wanted to go, look at that. Look how nice it looks.
Yeah. Hawaii threw a touchdown pass on the last play.
That's what it was. Heartbreaking.
And then there was a little skirmish that broke
out. Oh, that's right. I remember the aftermath. They started pushing and shoving.
But they got something nice building the Cal.
So, look, not a lot been going on behind the scenes other than just normal offseason stuff for a college football team. And then all of a sudden yesterday. I'm perusing the old socials, seeing what's going on? What have I missed? What's happening here? Damon Williams entered the transfer portal. And I had to do about 37 double recheck, triple check, quadruple check. Well, what's a five check called? I don't know what that would be, but whatever that is, I checked it that many times.
There's
quintuple
only
check.
Quintuple check.
There's only one account you need to check to verify. And you'll know if it's true or not.
And it was verified, and he indeed. Let me connect a couple of dots here. So 4 days ago, Damon Williams in Washington put out a statement. Teams are doing this now, and it's driving me nuts. This isn't just a USC thing. The whole we re-signed our player thing is just... it's just ugly. I can't stand it. It drives me nuts.
It's reached a level this season that we had never seen really
I've
before.
Resigned. Yeah. Like, you mean you're going to stay at the school that you've... Yeah. I just... it's awful. Ugly. I can't stand it. Anyways, they released it 4 days ago. Damon Williams signed an agreement to return to Washington to play quarterback for this year. Mm-hmm. Let me count them again. 4 days ago. That's when that happened. Fast forward 4 days. All of a sudden, he is in the transfer portal. And I am not kidding when I tell you, this dude might go down as one of the most hated athletes in the history of Washington athletics because of the way this transpired. So if you think it's bad that their starting quarterback went in the portal, you're right. It is terrible that he went in the starting quarterback went into the portal. Mm-hmm. Do you know what he did at Deering and how this news broke to the rest of the football team?
I was not aware this was happening when I heard about the story, but you alerted it to me this morning.
You think things couldn't get worse? Don't worry, they got worse. Last night on the Washington campus, they were having a funeral service for the soccer player, Mia Hammonds, I think is how you say her name, who tragically passed away, and it became this, you know, terrible, terrible story.
Big rally cry for the soccer
team. Big rally, and they went on this great run, and it just, I mean, it was a heartbreaking story for people up there. And that's where, not everybody, but the vast majority of the football team was at this memorial service for the soccer player who had passed away, including their head football coach, Jed Fish. Mm-hmm. When does the announcement from Damon Williams drop?
During that
ceremony, and all the players who did not know that this was happening, phones get blown up in the, you know, whatever the, you know, the after service or where you're getting drinks or whatever they call that. That's when all of them, their phones start blowing up, and they realize their starting quarterback is now in the portal days after signing what was reportedly a $5 million deal to be the quarterback at Washington next
year. Yeah, now Washington, according to Pete Thamel, is going to take legal action on this to...
Good luck.
Well, but here's the thing. I think people are mixing this up. People are basically going to suggest... I think this is more Washington trying to get financial stuff out of this than it is them wanting him back as the starter.
He will never play another down of football for Washington again. There's nothing.
Why would you want him?
You wouldn't want him for a leader of a team. And there's also nothing in a lawsuit and a contract that you can enforce that makes him cut. Like,
he's not an employee.
It won't happen. It's not. That's not happening. He's gone.
This is the whole fun. They've helped. Washington is certainly. I'm not somebody personally with my allegiance who points a finger at Oregon and Washington and says you did this. This was all destined to happen the minute USC put their tail between their legs and tried to get away from Oregon. We know that. We talked about that on the air at the time. Like, this conference is in trouble. You can't lose your LA hubs. And then the conference died. And because Oregon and Washington did it the day they were, quote unquote, going to agree, which I still don't buy, we blame them locally that aren't rooting for those teams. That being said, Washington is one of many schools in the entire sport that helped create this world.
Yes.
And now you're living in the world and you don't like the circumstances of the world. So, like, I don't really actually have very much sympathy. The attack of the kid, look, the timing of the announcement, I'm actually going to lean a benefit to it. He didn't know. He clearly wasn't at the service.
He was not there, no.
And you can say he knew, because I don't know, man, if the teammates there didn't know until they knew, maybe they're not really a friend of his. You know who liked his post, by the way?
Denzel Boston did.
Denzel Boston thumbsed it up.
He's leaving, though. He's not on the team anymore. I know.
I'm in this weird place where I don't like the agree to a contract, jump after agreeing to said contract going, but like also, this is what this world is, man. If I'm 19, 20, 21, whatever he is, and I'm getting $5 million from Washington, and I say, yeah, that's a good, I'm in, that's good. And then somebody calls me with
Lane
at least
Kiffin calls and says, I'll give you six.
A $500,000 to $1 million more, I'm in.
You're just out.
Like, it's money. We're chasing bags here. And I love how angry everybody is, especially the older 40-plus adult people who aren't coaching, who aren't really donating. I love how outraged they are, as if they're not watching coaches act like this for 20 years. It's ridiculous. All of this is stupid, but there's no legislation to it.
No.
You don't want to acknowledge their employees, so he's taking the most money. What do you want? Nebraska also thought they had an agreement with Kenny Minchie, and now he's at Kentucky. So all of this is gross, but guess what, man? We have two semi-local schools, one just an hour and a half away, and another one like 6 hours, 7 hours away. They both had their programs basically booted out of major college football.
Blown up.
Coaches left, rosters gutted, and I didn't hear a peep out of the majority of the fan bases saying, oh, man, we should be outraged by this.
Most fans actually laughed at Jim.
Yeah, it was, why don't you suck it up and become a big boy? And it's like, okay, cool, man.
Cougar fans have had a lot of fun with this because when Mateer hit the portal last year, they were digging through tweets from Husky fans saying, you just can't afford your starting quarterback, and now Cougar fans are finding those
Their
tweets.
Their athletic director left them for Washington.
He did. He's
and now
state.
You want them to have sympathy for you because your quarterback bounced for more money?
He stole their athletic director, man. It is wild. Like, who knows where he's going to end end up. The intel right
it
now
seems
is
like
that
it
it's
might
LSU.
Be LSU. Yeah.
There's another report out there that Miami, Carson Beck's gone. I mean, he's out of eligibility. What has Miami done the last 2 years, right?
Paid they're going portal.
Top dollar for a quarterback, and it's clearly working for them. They're in the semifinal. Like, I just also like the complaints of, like, where is the loyalty? This is the funniest part about it for me. It's a situation where you hate when the pendulum swings and it hits you, but you love when it swings in the other direction, if that makes sense. Because what's Washington likely going to do now? Call and tamper with some kid to get him to go in the portal?
100%.
You think Jed's going to call his former quarterback, Noah Fifita, down in Arizona and say, we got more money for you?
Who's their backup? They're not. You think they're turning into the backup?
They're going to do the same exact thing. There were Arizona fans in the aftermath of this, when everybody's bitching and moaning about how ugly the sport is, saying when Jed took the job at Washington, he was calling players on the Arizona roster who said they were not going to enter the transfer portal, and trying to convince him to enter the portal. And some of those players were in a meeting with the new coaching staff, and they just put Jed on speakerphone and were just laughing like, this is what we're dealing with right now. He's calling us again. All of it is ugly. We have a team playing tomorrow night in the semifinals of the sport who doesn't have a head coach.
Whose former coach is using the staff of that team to build his current team that he, after leaving that team, and then like, rooting publicly for that team, even though nobody buys that he's rooting for the team. So, like, that
it sucks when it hits you, but you're going to hit some. When you lose a coach, you think, this is the worst thing that's ever happened. I hate this sport. Why is there no loyalty? And what do you immediately go do? You go steal somebody else's coach, and you don't complain about it when you steal. When you're a bigger fish eating a littler fish, you don't complain about it. You just complain when you're the one being eaten.
I just, like, at the end of the day, man, loyalty has flown way out of
it. Doesn't exist anymore.
It's been gone for years. This is not some sudden development. There was somebody that we know that works in a different market, and there was a report, I think it was a year or a year and a half ago, and there was a report of a player that played for Clemson, and he transferred to South Carolina.
Rival. In-state rival.
In-state rival.
This just happened with a kid in Texas. They just had a wide receiver who went to Oklahoma. And then the people behind the scenes were like, I think Texas kind of booted. They pulled a scholarship.
He told Arch
and
that.
Everybody killed him. And he's like, well, they took my Scott. What do you want from me?
And I remember somebody we follow who had worked in that market posting publicly, this is egregious. Nobody with any morals could ever play for their rival. And I go, do you think this is 1982?
Yeah,
what are you talking about?
It's a different world now, man.
There are no rivalries to these kids. They're not growing up watching the sport the way you, me, and everybody else watch the sport with passion and angry.
What do they all do in high school? They jump from high school team to high school team.
High school kids are jumping in the portal.
They move to a different city and use a fake address to go play for another school in high school.
Well, and some of these kids are getting paid NIL money. So, like,
it starts at a young age.
It's already
man.
Starting in high school. And by the way, let me fill you in on a dirty little secret. This happens in youth basketball. I know this happens in youth football.
And then when they get to college, they're and we're like, what's wrong with the kids?
When they're in fourth and fifth grade dirt, guess who's manipulating parents and trying to get kids on different teams? They have drafts in Little League Baseball. You know how I know that? I got drafted. We got a phone call. It's like, you got drafted by Old Country Kitchen.
Hey,
and I was like, hey, that's who I'm on. They drafted in Little League. So, like, no offense to any. I know there's people that disagree with all of these takes. That's fine.
Sure,
like, it's like, but there's no rules to this. So, spare me the loyalty. Spare me the responsibility. Spare me that he's paid like an adult. Like, the adults aren't acting like adults. So, why should student athletes, quote unquote, student athletes, act like adults?
Mostly why I want to see the court is I want to see an example of how these contracts are being written and structured to understand what they are putting in it.
Yeah, it's a great question.
And so I'm curious about it. I don't have any, you know, I understand if you're trying to run a program and you're trying to abide by what you think the rules are and you sign, you know, if he wants to enter the transfer portal and be done, go enter, that's fine. But once you supposedly sign on the line, at least for that upcoming season,
is there anything you can do to?
There's got to be some recourse for.
So George is ahead of this, actually. So Washington's going to dive into this. George is ahead of this now. There was a kid on their defensive line that signed a deal, an agreement to play for Georgia. He jumped after signing and went to Baylor. They are currently right now, it's either still being figured out and sorted. They're trying to get back $390,000 from him.
That was part of his NIL payment, but part of the agreement that he signed was he was going to be for a certain amount of time, and he left before that time was up, and they're saying, well, you owe us money.
You owe us money, and he's saying, ah, the hell I do. And so now we're sitting here wondering. What I find funny about that situation, and this can be thrown into with DeMond, is, you know, when all of these SEC teams were the ones that were reigning supreme on the sport and winning for 14 straight years, why do we think they were doing that? It was everything we suggested it was. They just never want to admit it.
$200,000 in a McDonald's bag.
Yeah, Fred Taylor telling a story of Georgia giving him $50,000 in a bag, cash, to commit. He said, sure. And then he ended up going to Florida, and he never gave the money back. He kept the money. Well, guess who couldn't report that and sue him?
You can't get that money back.
Because the bag man couldn't say anything. Like, damn, we're out that money.
Hey, 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 he took our money.
But now that we're at this position, now you're seeing the bag men be like, hey, hey, you owe me my money.
Well, look, a couple other angles on this, because I want to make sure we're on time for Peyton to get the full segment there. One, just who he is as a quarterback. Because I think there's a debate or conversation that could be had there. I was underwhelmed with him this year. Maybe that's a hot take, but I will explain why. But then the other part of it is there any concern on the Washington side of it, of the message it sends? Not that maybe you care, but is there a concern on the recruiting trail if you're suing the starting quarterback?
I don't know, because like, I don't think this resonates.
I don't think it's
going to
go anywhere, but that was the only other thought I had of, like, that's not a good headline you want out there, Washington suing a former player. So a couple more angles to this. Josh Pate coming up bottom of the hour, back after this on The Fam.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit nationaldebtrelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit nationaldebtrelief.com. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more, done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
All right, welcome back in. Josh Pate going to join us in a matter of moments. I want to make sure we're early and on time for that, so no farting around here. Look, I think we can all acknowledge the system sucks. It's all stupid. It's all dumb. Yes. My team is losing. There are players who have to make the choice to leave Oregon two games away from potentially winning a national championship because this is when the portal window opens. This is your opportunity. And everybody says, how could you do that? And I understand the sentiment from the outside looking in. Like, you got to go find a spot. You got to get a roster spot. And if you wait too long, maybe they fill up. Like, it just, all of it sucks. Both coordinators are currently head coaches at other jobs while coming back and trying to win a championship, which is something my program has never done. Everything about the sport in that regard sucks right now. It's just until it changes, this is the world that we're going to live in. And my point largely is we hate the system and say this sucks as a fan. What if you call, I don't know, Utah, and you say Devin Dampier go in the portal, and he goes in the portal, and you tamper with him, and then he signs with you, and you end up winning 9 games again next year? You get a bitch about it then? Then
no.
Does the system still suck?
No, you'd be like, oh, we were righted for that. We're okay for
right?
doing that.
We got our guy. We found our quarterback. Yeah. If Sam Levitt commits to Washington, you're going to be, hey, this is pretty cool, man.
You're going
to
argue you upgrade.
I absolutely would argue you upgrade. So the point that I would make on DeMond, and I remember, I'll never forget walking around, because his first start he ever made was at Autzen last year in the last game of the season. He played, but he never started a game.
Mm-hmm.
So much talk, and we'd seen him on TV, and I'm like, I'm wanting to see what this kid looks like up close. And I'm, I don't know, from me to swag away from him. And the only thought that I had was, oh my God, there is not a chance in hell he is 5'11". In no world. If he's 5'11", I'm 5'10¾".
So he's your height?
That dude is tinier than a mouse. And him playing quarterback at this level, I think, has been exposed for that reason. Cool. When he plays teams that are not as athletic as him and he can run around and scramble and use his legs, he's one of the best players in the country. When he played Ohio State, he did nothing. When he played Michigan, he did nothing. When he played Oregon, he did nothing. And they dominated him largely because he cannot beat you from the pocket. And so I think a little bit of this like fart bubble has been released for Husky fans.
Mm-hmm.
There was a Barstool Huskies account that tweeted a month ago, we're going to win the Heisman next year, and now saying he's too small, he can't throw in the middle of the field. Look, we all do this as fans. I did it with Mario, right? He's our guy. Now he's gone. He was any good anyways. Like, we're all that way as fans. I get it. But now that we can have an honest conversation about him, I don't see how you play the quarterback at a high level in that sport at that height. I just don't see it.
Yeah, and I think your point of like, who do they get to replace, and then what is the reaction to that will be very telling. I fundamentally don't like it, but like, we see this all over the country. The Huskies are not the only team this has happened to.
Right.
And what I find funny, like, you know, somebody up north that talks a lot of Huskies that you is your best friend. He's going off yesterday, and he's, the kid's a turncoat, and he wants adult money, but he's acting like a child. It's like, what you're telling me, what you and everybody else that's sharing this sentiment, what you're telling me, you ain't built for this. You want your team to be good, you want your team to win so you can rant, rave, and brag, and dunk on people. I get that. Buddy, what do you think it's like for these coaches' staffs to recruit high school kids? He's a turncoat. Yeah, dude. Welcome to having a relationship with a high school senior who says he's with you all the way, and then on signing day,
he throws your hat on the floor
to somebody else. Yeah. Like, you ain't built for it. You're just living it because now it's public.
Yeah.
And so I got a chuckle out of it. It certainly was shocking.
It's absolutely like, because he just signed the extension 4 days ago,
and it was a big announcement. Like, he's back. He's our guy. We got him. And him, like many other student athletes, and I keep using that as a joke term, they got offered more money, or he just looks at the situation and says, well, the money's the exact same, and I get to go play at LSU or be back at Washington. I've lost my best target. My running back's gone. Maybe I'm going to go to the place where, Chambliss in that system looks pretty good, doesn't it?
Kind of worked out for him, didn't it?
And I don't know if it will work out for him, but these kids believe in themselves to the point where they believe they can also be in a semifinal if they're in the right circumstance. So it does suck. This is happening to everybody. Husky fans are not alone in this experience. It just blew up in a way in their faces they did not see happening.
Wild bombshell last night out of Seattle. DeMond Williams will no longer be the quarterback at Washington.
Now, what are your thoughts? Because you've already shared how you felt about him. There is some in the world that
I want nothing to do with him.
Oregon could be looking at him if Dante
That's because
leaves.
It's my team, and they did this with Raiola. They will do this anytime a quarterback enters the portal. DeMond Williams will not be the quarterback for Oregon next year. Mark it down, write it in Sharpie. Zero chance.
But if he is.
All of my concerns remain. He can't see over the line of scrimmage.
All right.
I know that as a fellow small quarterback.
Gabriel.
As a fellow small, Dylan Gabriel makes Dylan Gabriel look like me standing next to Jason Sakanik, dude. I'm not kidding you. He is tiny.
Mm.
Tiny, tiny.
Like Bryce Young tiny.
Like Bryce Young tiny.
Yeah.
Like that 5'11 on that program.
In your bra.
All right, let's get to Josh Pate, the commissioner of the sport. That is next. All right, welcome back in. 8:31. Happy Wednesday, everybody. As Dan Lanning would say,
we got him, boys.
We got him. He's here, the commissioner.
Not easy right now, man.
Fresh off a get up. I even wore my plain black tee knowing this might be a Josh Pate Wednesday. I'm wearing my Josh Pate t-shirt.
There you
here.
Go.
I'm trying to blend in.
I have a
baby.
White tee on.
We got a white tee and a black tee. We're ready to go. Josh Pate's College Football Show. Check it out on YouTube every Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday. Give him a follow on Twitter at Josh Pate CFB. Is the future commissioner of college football. And it is great to catch up with you, Pate, man. We appreciate carving some time out because I know you got a crazy busy schedule and we got semis on the horizon. We were just talking about the Damon Williams story, and I certainly want to get to Oregon, Indiana with you. I'm just like, that was a bombshell here locally. Damon Williams is a guy who started all season for Washington, just signed his agreement to return 4 days ago, and now he's in the portal. Maybe it's LSU, maybe it's Miami, but it's leading everybody's hair to catch on fire up here in the Northwest. I'm just curious your reaction to that and what it means for not only the sport and maybe some legal recourse that could be there and what it means for the Huskies.
Well, it's stupid, and I hate it, and burn it all down are my initial three thoughts, and that's the mature version of me. So the immature version would say something far worse. I've started to give out some advice, maybe some college football fan life advice to anyone who is turned off by this, and it's just tune out. Keep watching the playoff games, but as far as the you know, like the extracurricular, the recruiting, the portal stuff, you probably just need to tune out for a little while on it and just check in August or even in spring practice, see who's on your roster, and you'll be good. Because the games will still be, you know, thoroughly entertaining. You'll be fine. But for the next little while, until we really get our feet under us and we figure out if there are rules and what the rules are and all that, it's probably just going to disgust you. If you're older than 10 and you have somewhat of a bearing of what college football is supposed to look like, it's probably going to disgust you.
Well, I think looking at that, like, it certainly was a weird story, a pretty big one here in the Pacific Northwest, but I'm also chuckling of, like, acting like this is the biggest thing going on. We literally have a team in a semifinal game tomorrow who half the coaching staff we're not even sure is going to be in. I think we got a couple names about 30 minutes ago that we found out will not be able to coach for Ole Miss in the Fiesta Bowl. And I'm like, you know, the quarterback leaving, I, you know, gross, weird, all that. We have a coach who left a team that could win a national championship. This is happening before our eyes. I don't even know how that team is playing football. I don't know who they're talking to in these meetings. That whole thing is so bizarre to me. But Chambliss was so awesome in the second half against Georgia. I'm curious as your thoughts on Ole Miss having to deal with the Lane fallout.
Well, so when I was growing up, you know, to get taught how to drive, most of us have the experience of, you know, your dad or your mom or grandma or whoever, they're driving and you're out in the countryside and it's pretty rural. And so they'll have you come over here, climb up on my lap, take the wheel, and you really know they're still in charge. Well, I didn't, but unbeknownst to me, my parents were still in charge, but they would let me take the wheel. And the parent knows, even if the worst were to happen and the kid just takes his hand off the wheel entirely, the car's going to go semi-straight for a little while. Now, it will slowly veer off, and if you keep your hands off the wheel too long, you'll end up in the ditch. That's kind of the way these football programs operate. And I'm not saying that losing Lane Kiffin is the equivalent of taking hands totally off the wheel. There are still hands on the wheel, even if they're relatively less capable. But, you know, it's kind of like – if the foreman doesn't show up to the job site, the workers know how to perform the task. Now, over a long length of time, the 50,000-foot vision of the overall project and the overall strategic nature of the company may suffer, but this isn't long-term. These were a few games Ole Miss had to play. I almost think that they took it as an insult that people thought the operation was just going to grind to a halt. Like, they don't even know. How many are we supposed to have out here? 10? 11? I forgot my route tree. It's just not the impact that losing a coach has on a team. And if it was going to bite them, I thought it was going to bite them against Georgia. So once they got past Georgia, I actually think you can harness this as a weapon. But I also think, like, when you're talking storylines in college football, it matters if you're 35, 45, 55, 65. Sometimes if you're 19 years old, You're not even aware enough to know it's supposed to matter. I think there are a lot of dudes in that Ole Miss locker room that are just going and playing ball, and they don't even know this stuff is supposed to matter. And by the way, I would advise them do not ever become any more self-aware than you are right now, because it's only downhill from here. So just remain totally oblivious and ignorant to life.
I mean, it reminds me of your backup quarterback argument that you make of kind of, you know, everybody doing a little bit more and a little bit extra. And maybe this is the thing that galvanizes the team. They all do a little bit more and come together, to your point, to prove people wrong. And remarkable performance. We saw some of the post-game comments from players taking shots at Lane. So clearly it's working out for him. I can't wait to see how that game turns out. Now, we're talking with Josh Pate, future commissioner of the sport, at Josh Pate CFB. On Twitter, on Instagram, go give him a follow on all the socials. He's going to be at the Oregon-Indiana game on Friday night. You can check out his show every Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, live on YouTube, and get the podcast wherever you find your podcasts. He's the best in the biz. I love saying in tongue-in-cheek for my Oregon Ducks that nobody's giving us a chance and everybody rolls their eyes at me all year because they're always one of the favorites in basically every game that they play. I tune into the show on Sunday night.
He's not giving you a chance.
I see a prediction. Okay, write it down. Josh Pate not giving me a chance. Okay, I'm perusing yesterday. I see the locker room video pop up, and I see, okay, Compton. All right, Taylor Lewan. Okay, all three of them. Nobody's giving my team a chance.
Busting against the Ducks.
Go ahead, Josh Pate. Tell me how my team's going to lose on Friday.
Well, I think your team's going to lose on Friday. You hear that? You smell that? That is the unmistakable stench of doubt. So do you want me to break some news, exclusive news on the show right now?
Yeah.
I think Dan Lanning needs to be verbally abused before games, and so I'm doing it this week. I have pulled up right now my text to Dan Lanning over the past week, and one of them was, "Nobody believes in you, don't show up." That one got an exclamation mark. The second one was, "It's hard for a man who has known hunger to ever be full." And I let him guess which coach I was describing. And then the one yesterday I sent him, this finally got an actual reaction in terms of words. Only one thing is more flammable than smell. Hold on. Scratch. poor takeoff there. Only one thing is more flammable and smells stronger than gasoline, and that's doubt. And I attributed that one to Meemaw, which I think is why he responded. And I will continue this practice up until kickoff.
Thank you.
Because if he needs someone to stare daggers at as he takes the field, if he needs someone to rage out on in the mirror right before the game, I'm happy to serve that purpose. Yeah, he knows I'm a friend of the program. But I just think sometimes he needs to be reminded, hey, you've low-key kind of sucked in these second go-arounds against Washington and DeBoer, against Ohio State last year. Now you get another shot against Indiana. It's time to rewrite the book, my friend. It's time. Don't embarrass me. That's my main message to Dan. Don't embarrass me. I stand up for you. Do not embarrass me.
I wonder what his response to that one was, because you said it was the only thing he actually gave you words in response to. I also think he's psycho enough to tell his family to just absolutely verbally abuse him during the week when he goes home, so it can just piss him off.
Buddy, even you suck, buddy. Dad. You suck,
don't
Dad.
Know. You think you know the kind of psychopath we're dealing with. You have no idea the kind of psychopath we're dealing with. We have had running jokes on the locker room, the show I do with Lawan and Will. We have had running jokes about Kurt Cignetti playing psychological warfare with not only Dan, but his family. And he has participated in that storyline, which is purely fictitious and inappropriate to begin with, in the best cases. He has actively participated and, dare I say, fanned the flames of said storyline. Just not even human.
I have a Michael Scott-like weird thought of, like, he has Cignetti photoshopped in a photo of his family, but it's Cignetti instead of Dan, so he can just stare at it and be seething through the roof as he gets ready for this game. He's losing Jordan Davison, right? So, like, motivating quotes and doubt and all of that does play a factor here, but they're also losing, debatably, if not certainly, their best running back. That was announced yesterday. I'm curious how that changes. They couldn't run the ball against Indiana in the first one. Dante Moore and where you're at Dante. Can Dante win this game for the Ducks? And the loss of Davison to the offense.
They are going to have to find a way to manufacture a run game enough to where third down's manageable. So I think what bit them the first time was they were 3 of 14 on third down against Indiana. And that was because third down was an average of 3rd and 6.6 yards. They had 5 different 3rd and 9 pluses. And if you do that again, you're just going to get yourself in a blender against that defense. You're just going to end up putting yourself in turnover-prone positions again. And at that point, all Indiana's got to do is just be who they are. That's what they've been razor-efficient at doing, just being who they are and forcing you to be something else. But then past third down, here's what I wonder, and this is kind of open-ended. I wonder how he thinks on fourth down this game. After going 4 of 8 against Texas Tech, I mean, some coaches don't go for it on fourth down 8 times all year, and he did it in one game. And that's to his credit. Like, that's who he is. That's what they believe in. But when you go 4 of 8 and you turn the ball over, I think 4 or 5 times in opponent territory, and you come away with no points on those drives, you can afford to do that when you're shutting someone out. You're not going to shut out Indiana, and so you probably can't afford to do that. That'll bankrupt you against them. And so I watched DeBoer go for it on fourth down on his own 30-yard line against Indiana. They didn't get it. That caved Alabama's faint hopes of competing in that game. So just the decision-making in this game, I wonder if Dancy and Bama failed to do it, if Dancy and his own team failed to do it 4 times, do you just wipe it clean and do what you do no matter what, or does that affect you? And how many times does your third down lack of execution put you in position to have to make those fourth down decisions? I actually think that, along with the obvious, which is Dante Moore being efficient, that's the game for Oregon.
Yeah, you're spot on that that'll be the takeaway out of the game. If they fail on a couple of fourth downs and you lose a one-possession game, similar to the Washington game a couple years ago, that's all anybody would talk about. I'm curious to ask you on the other side, a lot of focus on Oregon. Can Dante Moore get it going against that defense? He was, you know, confused, and you know, they threw him off in that first matchup at Autzen. On the other side of the ball, we're coming off an Oregon game in which they pitched a shutout, and it was impressive. It's the first time there's a number since like 1917. That's no counties for me. Since they've been playing real football, it's the first time Oregon's ever done that, and they did it in the Orange Bowl against a Big 12 champ. Where's the pie chart for you on percentage of that's because Oregon has got it going defensively? They're incredibly healthy on that side of the ball. No injuries really all season long. Good at all three levels. Is that an Oregon defensive shutout? It is a Texas Tech's overrated. They only play Big 12 defenses, and those numbers were inflated all year. Like, how do you separate that pie chart, and how should I feel about Oregon's defense going into this game?
No, Oregon's really good defensively, and they can be really good here. You do deal with the situation where Texas Tech was very capped by – lower end potential at quarterback. I'm trying to be kind there. They did not have a playoff caliber quarterback at Texas Tech. So Indiana obviously does. But having said that, I mean, in his biggest games this year, it's not like Mendoza has just, it's crazy to say what I'm about to say about a Heisman Trophy winner, but it's not like he's completely and utterly torched people. He's been very, very good, but he's thrown a couple of picks in some big games too. Like, that can happen. He did it against Oregon.
Yeah.
So that can happen. It's just, you've got to put them in the situations that they're really good at putting other teams in. Because I think for the millionth time this week, I'm hearing people ask about the secret formula, secret sauce, whatever Indiana does. And they can't wrap their mind around the concept that there's no real secret. They're just really, really efficient, and they don't screw a whole lot up. And it's crazy how many teams will lose football games against you if all you do is what you're supposed to do. That's a really, really good metaphor for life, by the way, kids, if you're listening out there riding around with your parents. If you'll just do your job, it's crazy how many people around you won't do theirs, and you'll end up elevating by default. So I think at the very least you have to put him in conflict. You have to put him in some 3rd and 6 pluses. Make them be in a position like you were in last game where their average distance to gain is 6-plus yards. And at that point, it's not that he can't make the throws. It's if he does – and he carves you up enough to win, that's when you're okay tipping your cap. You're not okay losing, but you're comfortable that you did enough to win, he just did a little bit more. Mm. But if it's a bunch of self-inflicted wounds and they get the ball with 20 yards average better starting field position than you, that's when you fumbled it a little bit, figuratively, maybe literally. And that's what is really a tough flight home from Atlanta to Eugene having the stomach.
Last one for you, man. We appreciate you hopping on today. I know your week is insane. Is the national title game basically that game to you? Or do you actually give, you're giving Miami and Ole Miss that legit chance to be able to do it as well?
Are people there okay with me saying Mario Cristobal could theoretically win a national title?
Not yet. Too soon.
It's going to break their brains if he does.
All right, well, then I'm going to say this. No, this is the national title game. Yeah, winner in Atlanta might as well get the crown. However, I do reserve the right to privately text one or both of you an alternate answer so that you can deliver it, because I'm not interested in being the bad guy. Yeah. I just want the credit. I don't want any blame.
Gotcha.
I got a semifinal game, man. I haven't even gotten to the place mentally to think about my team playing Mario Cristobal in a national championship. That's a problem for another day. Today, Dirt, dude, not going to worry about that. Tomorrow, Dirt, will handle that issue when it arises.
Such bad timing for you during the when we were off. You did the the bus into the locker room with the guys, and you did the whole, I laid the money line on Bama, and then that circulated after that result, and I went, oh,
come on,
don't do that to our boy
like
that.
I was right there with you, man. I was right there with you. Josh Pate, CFB on Twitter, on Instagram. Go give him a follow. Future commissioner of the sport. The best in the biz. All he asks is just subscribe. Go do it to the YouTube page every Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, his college football show. Appreciate the time. Enjoy the games. Hopefully we'll do it again soon, and enjoy all the football, buddy.
Pleasure as always, guys. Have a good rest of your week.
You too. There you go. Josh Pate, the commissioner of the sport.
Great to get him on, man. It was great to get him on. We didn't know where that was going to be, and we didn't know about 10 o'clock last night if that was even going to happen.
He did say all is on schedule for his regular bit next week.
Okay.
No. Okay.
So we'll double check with
him. The last couple weeks have just been a weird schedule in general.
Holidays,
in the media,
games on Thursdays, all that fun stuff.
Yeah, I mean, to the notion, too, of, like, Indiana, the special sauce. You know what the special sauce is? I love the way that he put it. Second fewest penalty yards in the country per game.
Mm.
They lead the country in turnover margin. They've only turned the ball over 8 times all year.
God.
They are third in third down defensive percentage at 28%, and they lead the country in third down conversions at 56%.
Can I ask you this? I know it's we're way
simple.
Against it.
Yes.
Football with football, some would say.
Yeah. It can do that.
If Indiana and everything their record is and all their advanced analytics, everything, if Indiana said Georgia, would we be talking about how they're the dominant team that's going to win the title? And are we still hung up on the, no, Oregon can win, and, oh, I don't know about runaway, or are people there with Indiana? I'm kind of wondering for the national narrative, let's get out of our own bubble here.
Mm-hmm.
Is Indiana looked at by the majority of people as the runaway favorite to win the whole thing, or are a lot of people still hanging up on Indiana?
It's Indiana.
Because all their numbers suggest in the past this is Clemson,
Indiana,
Ohio State, Georgia. When they end up winning it, a lot of it looks like this.
Let's answer that question. Talk about it next. We also got some news from a quarterback going to the NFL. We'll dive into that news. Lots of what to get to. Back after this on The Fan.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more, done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
All right, welcome back in. Lots to get to in the final hour. Stat or story coming up, 9:15.
You got your stat?
I got my stat.
You got your story?
I got my story. Or do I have a stat stat? Should we trade for Jonathan Kuminga? We will answer that fun Blazer game tonight. Rockets are in town. Some would call them the Rockettes.
Back to back.
We do. Some would call it a little two-game series. Let me ask you this. So I'm going to ask you the question that you asked me. I'm going to flip it on you. I'm going to get in there and flip it.
Oh.
Okay. Is Indiana the runaway freight train to you? Because you know I am not going to be able to objectively answer this question.
I certainly, like, I know I'm starting with a fence sit here, won't be shocked at all if they are. The numbers may suggest, I think the numbers do suggest
all
that.
All the numbers back it up.
I've been on the opinion all week. I actually think they have gotten better the last few weeks, which is crazy to say. I, however, will push back on my ultimate yes, because I think the very dirty portal we just discussed suggests that there are no more runaway freight trains in the sport.
So there's a vulnerability that has not been seen. Well, I shouldn't say not been seen, because Penn State damn near beat them.
Penn State damn
Iowa
near
had them
it.
On the ropes. The Oregon game was a one-possession
game
with 6 minutes to go.
Oregon was hanging around despite not getting the
best
play.
Could have easily lost to Ohio State in the Big Ten title game, unless that was not a blowout. The Alabama game was, but the Ohio State game
and
was not.
If, like, let's take Miami. Right? We asked the Mario winning, or he said, do you want to hear me say Mario can win the title? He probably does think that he can, and
Without
he jokingly doesn't want to say it.
He's been high on Miami all year.
And we watched Miami's defense.
Yeah, very good.
Pretty damn good.
Very good.
And that defense for Ohio State gave Ohio State a chance in that game. So, yeah, I think they statistically, by the metrics, look like the runaway freight train. I just don't think this is the four-team pre-NIL portal era.
Yeah.
And so I don't think those exist anymore.
Where there's just depth on depth on depth and five stars after five stars coming at you in waves.
How many
and there's
LSUs
no answer
are
to
you going
to
get with Joe Burrow? Right. And like in that instance, Joe Burrow is at LSU, Ja'Marr Chase is at Alabama, and Justin Jefferson is on Ohio State. Yeah. And so like all of that is negated and it's balanced out and you don't get it anymore.
Yeah. I tend to agree with you. I think they certainly deserve their flowers as the favorite. They are certainly the best team in the sport this year, and they have been all season long. And the resume now backs it up. But I agree with you. I don't think that exists in college football anymore. And it's one of the reasons why I have a glimmer of hope for Friday night. I have no clue how the game's going to go. For all I know, they blow my team out the way they blew Alabama out in the Rose Bowl. And it's
nobody
over
on this show is going to be shocked by that.
They're a very talented team. But I tend to agree with you that that just doesn't exist anymore in the sport. I don't think we can ever say there's a runaway freight train again. They're a very good team that does not beat themselves. That's been their calling card all year. Can you beat them playing their game? Can you not beat yourself and do things to lose a football game? We'll wait and see on that. Loaded final hour, a little shorty there, but we'll make up for it in the final hour, including some Blazer trade discussions. They're back in action tonight with the Rockets in town. We got Statter Story at 9:15, some leftover NFL nuggies as we get closer to Wild Card Weekend. It is loaded. Don't go anywhere. Dirt Sprague, 105.1 FM, The Fam.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford, and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.